You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
I think I broke the headphones buttons. No, don't look at me like that. They're okay. Like your foot. It's fine. It's okay. It's ready to go. Welcome in, everyone, to the gym class here in KGYM. As you come your way on this Tuesday afternoon, the 20th of April. Some people coming up with their own joke right there. Great to have you aboard. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as KGYM radio stream, your KGYM mobile app. Go ahead and download it. We'd love to have you do so, and your smart speaker as well. Good show coming up for you. Cole Bear will join us. It covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll take a look back at the spring football season that was for Mark Farley and the Panthers. We'll talk a little bit about the wrap-up of the UNI men's basketball season as well. Look ahead to the football season coming up in the fall, the regularly scheduled football season in the fall. We'll do that with Cole coming up in just a little bit. As per always, there is college basketball news out there. Seemingly every day there is college basketball news. So we will kick that around, including a big get as far as the Iowa State Cyclones are concerned, as Iowa State bringing in another recruit for TJ Otzelberger. And of course, we are now 24 hours off the fallout of CJ Frederick leaving the Iowa basketball program. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you again, 319-366-1600. We do appreciate you chiming in as far as the text line is concerned. And don't forget, of course, that we've got going on right now, pardon our interruption, right here on KGYM, as that contest got started yesterday as far as throughout the day is concerned. And you can win. Just listen throughout the day right here on KGYM Radio for your chance to get in and find the word for the hour, and you have a chance to win $1,000. More details are available at kgymradio.com. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on this overcast and chilly Tuesday afternoon. How are you?
I'm well, Scott. Hope you are as well. And our listeners out there, and yeah, there's constantly news in the college basketball world, whether it's transfer portals or signings or what have you. And as you mentioned, more of that today, and we'll get into it here quickly.
No doubt. No doubt about it. As got big news out of TJ Otzelberger and Iowa State earlier on today. And so far, TJ is 2 for 2. Going after three big-time recruits, and two of them have made their decisions. TJ Otzelberger got them both. Of course, Taman Lipsey from Ames, the point guard out of Ames High School, junior, gave his verbal commitment to play for the Iowa State Cyclones, his hometown team. And now today, Eli King out of Caledonia, Minnesota, 4-star 6'3 guard out of the land of 10,000 lakes. Another guy that TJ Otzelberger had his eye on. He commits to the Iowa State program. Of course, that will be in 2 years as well.
That's correct. And King and Lipsey actually have played on the same AAU team. So they're very familiar with one another, you would think. And yeah, as you mentioned, it's going to be a year before we see these two in an Iowa State uniform. But TJ Otzelberger has been very active, not only on high school recruiting, but also in the transfer portal. And as you know, Scott, King is from Caledonia, Minnesota, which is darn near Iowa.
Yes.
It's in the far southeast corner of the state of Minnesota. Oftentimes, I know Decorah, Walk-On, others up there in that part of Northeast Iowa will travel across the border or vice versa to play Caledonia teams. And not sure if King played against any of those particular schools, but at this early juncture, what Otzelberger has done by some rating services is the number one recruiting class in the Big 12 and number four nationally in 2022 recruiting. Again, it's still somewhat of an early juncture, but it shows you what some people think of what he has been doing.
Yeah, yeah. So far, nothing but home runs as far as TJ Otzelberger is concerned. And it's going to be basically a brand new roster as far as the Iowa State Cyclones are concerned. We mentioned King coming in, of course, as well as the transfer out of Kansas via the Netherlands. He is going to be playing for Iowa State more than likely next year with the way everything goes. We'll see. But, yeah, then you got the Washington State transfer coming in and a couple other ones as well for TJ Otzelberger and Iowa State. And you got to say, so far, it's been a home run. You don't know how these guys are going to perform, but things are looking good as far as the Cyclones are concerned.
Well, on paper, it does, doesn't it? They haven't played a game yet with Kalsher and some of the other transfers melding into whatever's left of the Iowa State roster. On the Iowa side of things, much anticipated, kind of a formality, Riley Mulvey, the 6'11 player out of the state of New York. He has signed and is going to report in the summer.
Of course, he reclassified, was going to be a high school senior next year, made that reclassification, and he will go into college next year. Again, I don't know all the ins and outs and details of what that all entails. You must have all your credits taken care of, though, your core credits as far as your high school, prep school, whatever school you're in. Designation is concerned, obviously has done that, and will be in Iowa City next year, or before that, playing for the Hawkeyes, and you got to think is going to be seeing action next year as far as getting on the court. How many minutes a game he's going to get, who knows at this point?
Very true, and yesterday we talked about with David Eichold of 24/7 Sports about the needs for Fran McCaffrey dipping into the transfer portal, and it's pretty well established that need a big man and need a shooting guard. David actually thought maybe a couple shooting guards, but if you my guy is off the table for Iowa, John Herrera.
Yeah, you're miserable today, aren't you?
Big man out of Penn State has decided to return to the Nittany Lions. For some reason, I just like this guy. I like his fire. Averaged 9-9 last year, and I thought he might be a good fit for the Hawkeyes, but I'm no talent evaluator. I never thought Tyler Cook would play in the NBA either.
Yeah, and congratulations to Tyler Cook on his first career start.
Exactly.
As far as the Detroit Pistons are concerned, and Tyler doing very, very well as far as his very short NBA career is concerned. And yeah, you mentioned Herrera is going to be back with the Penn State Nittany Lions. A couple other announcements today. Maryland got a good one out of Utah. Ian Martinez is going to be a Terp next year. Good get right there for Mark Turgeon.
I don't know much about him other than he only averaged 5-2 for Utah.
Yeah, but has an upside.
Yeah, same with the Kansas transfer to Iowa State. Didn't do much statistically, but was a four-star out of high school. And given an opportunity, sometimes these guys are really going to shine in a new location.
Speaking of new locations, this doesn't happen very often, but in the transfer portal today, Miller Kopp, the sharpshooter out of Northwestern, Mark, is going to stay in the Big Ten. He's going to be an Indiana Hoosier now. So he will go up against his former team at least once, if not twice, next year. A little bit of an interesting development as far as Big Ten basketball is concerned. You know, whether you like the coaching hire or not, Indiana's done pretty well as far as the transfers, and much like T.J. Otzelberger, with high school recruits coming in as well for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, I'd agree. And Kopp's a nice kid. He's a nice player that I think will contribute to the Hoosiers. I don't know in a big way, but significantly. I think that's a good get.
Yeah, I would imagine that Indiana folks are very happy as well about that. And probably the biggest one in the country today, Johnny Juzang has put his name into the NBA draft out of UCLA. And he has not signed an agent, will not sign an agent. He's going to keep the door open as far as his college eligibility is concerned for at least what CBS Sports is calling the preseason number one team. They're number one or number two. Gonzaga on some of those mockish type polls, and we'll get to that coming up in a moment, jumped ahead of them. With the number one recruit, the seven-footer coming in next year to Gonzaga. But UCLA and the Zags are 1-2 going into next year. It'll be interesting to see what will happen, if he is going to come back to the Bruins or if he's going to stay in the draft. I got a feeling he's going to come back. I just have a feeling Johnny Juzang is going to come back to UCLA.
Yeah, this is the Joe Wieskamp test, right?
Yes.
Exactly what Joe Wieskamp is going through, and remains to be seen how that will all pan out. But UCLA obviously will be very good with or without him, but with him for sure. And despite the fact Gonzaga loses Jalen Suggs to the NBA, and it brings a seven-footer Chet Holmgren, who's probably going to play only 1 year at Gonzaga. He's projected in the 2022 draft to maybe be the number one overall pick. I watched some film or tape or whatever you want to call it on this guy, video. He's 7 footer with guard skills, really, at least at the level he's playing at right now. Gonzaga isn't going to miss much of a beat.
True. 319-366-1600, 0835 on the text line. On the transfer side, besides Haggard, who would be your favorites for the Hawks to look at for you and I? You and I, not the UNI Panthers, Mark, for Iowa. They're number one guy is still the 6'9 transfer out of North Dakota. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that he's the big man that Iowa wants. And Iowa's right in there, had Zoom calls over the weekend. Iowa involved in those. That's right there is that's the plum that Fran McCaffrey wants to pick off the tree.
Yeah, apparently he's got another Zoom call with Fran McCaffrey, the 6'9 player out of North Dakota, that is, this coming weekend. And he's not the big, big man that you would think. You know, you're not talking 6'11, 7-footer. He's 6'9, which is in the range of, isn't that what Pat McCaffrey stands?
Well, yeah, not quite that big, maybe. Not quite that tall, but it's not a Luka Garza-type game. He's not going to spend 85% of the basketball game with his back to the basket. Like we said yesterday with David Eichhold, it's going to be a different-looking Iowa basketball team next year. Not everything is going to go through the post. Every possession, 95 to 98% of each possession in the half court went through Luka Garza. He had a touch. Probably not going to happen next year as much as far as Iowa basketball is concerned. But we'll see. Maybe that big man is not there yet. Maybe Mulvey will be more of a contributor than we think. Maybe Ogundele will have a big summer. I don't know. So many variables now in the world of college basketball.
Well, there are so many variables, and to answer the question, I must admit I haven't had a chance to review all 1,400 players in the portal. And clearly, from what you hear from different beat reporters that the big guy out of North Dakota is definitely one target. And I've told you, it's my guy was Herrera out of Penn State. For whatever reason, you know, I just thought that this is a guy that Iowa should pursue. Maybe it did, and Herrera decided to go back to Penn State. I don't know, but I don't envy these coaches. You know, going, it's a full-time job going through that portal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No doubt, because there are new guys there, new guys leaving. Very much so. Very much so. 319-366-1600. By the way, Mulvey, a young man out of New York, just outside of Albany, by the way, Albany, New York, 14.2 points, nearly 12 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 2 steals. That's what's kind of impressive. And 4 blocks a game in one of the top prep conferences in the Northeast. The New England Preparatory School Athletic Council Conference. That's what he participated in last year. But he's got some, he needs to find the weight room. Let's just put it that way. He needs to put on some poundage.
Yeah, he's on the slender side, for sure. You know, I'll be anxious to see when he gets in the summer and goes through drills and competes against Big Ten competition on his own team and then into the season, what he could possibly do, whether he's an immediate contributor or a project. I can't answer that right now, but just watching him play, he's definitely got some skills.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 21 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Colbert will join us coming up at 3:30. Thank you very much for the reminder buttons. Do appreciate that. A coach stepping down today in the Metro, a longtime coach in one of the premier teams as far as sports on the prep side are concerned here in Cedar Rapids and Marion. Chris Cruz stepping down today as the boys swimming coach at Cedar Rapids, Washington. Only the third swimming coach in the long, illustrious history of Cedar Rapids, Washington boys swimming, and certainly left his mark there as both a swimmer for his predecessor, Jim Voss, and then taking over from Coach Voss and keeping things going as far as Washington Warrior swimming is concerned.
And Chris was a super guy. As we used to do the tailgate tours, we would visit with Chris now and then, and man, it's hard to believe he's been there 23 years. We both remember him as a swimmer, a state champion in individual and relay events. And then to follow Hal Krazan and Jim Voss to the kingpins in boys swimming in Iowa for the premier swimming program in the state. Three coaching coaches in that sport in 65 years, quite remarkable. And you remember Washington won what will never be broken, 53 straight district championships. That was snapped in 2017. But Chris won a state title and had 5 runners-up. Nice career, Chris.
Very good career out there. 319-366-1600 at 23 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class for this Tuesday here on KGYM. Twins baseball coming up at 5 o'clock today. Twins are back on the field. They are in Oakland. They're going to play 2 7-inning games today, a doubleheader to make up for the postponement yesterday. Still no announcement as far as when the 2 games over the weekend that were canceled when there was a COVID situation as far as the Twins team is concerned with contract tracing, et cetera, et cetera. But everybody is ready to go and a clean bill of health as far as Minnesota is concerned with the Twins. And they'll go at it at 5 o'clock today in Oakland.
Yeah, and the Twins have put a couple, 3 players on the COVID-19 list, including Max Kepler, the outfielder, which obviously creates some maneuvering on the roster. And, you know, this is what where we're at right now, and the Twins are going to have to deal with it. I hate the West Coast trips as much as you do, Scott. for Midwestern teams, and then you pile this on top of that, and I'm fearful for the outcome today.
We'll see. We'll see. And by the way, you and I are not big soccer people. I think we can safely say that, correct? I mean, we know it's out there, et cetera, et cetera. As far as the big leagues are concerned, I mean, high school soccer we know of, college soccer, yes, great job by the Iowa women winning the Big Ten, getting ready for their match against Campbell coming up. But boy, oh boy, whatever the Super League thing was, did not last very long, as we already got two of the teams that are bailing on it. And then one of the teams, I believe their general manager had to resign today, was scheduled to do it later on this year, but resigned early because of this entire fiasco. And like I said, I'm not certainly an expert at this. I don't know a ton about soccer, but seemingly this was not a really good idea.
Yeah, the lifespan there was not very long, was it, for the so-called Super League? And I don't have 2 cents to put into this subject, Scott. I really don't. And all I want to know is if Leicester City is still in the Premier League.
I believe so.
Get Buttons on that, will you?
Buttons. Yes. No. Yes, yes. He says yes. Very
wasn't
good.
Wasn't it Leicester City a couple of years ago that shocked everybody?
Yes, I believe so. I believe that was them. Was that?
That's my extent of Premier League soccer.
Yes, he is shaking his head. Yes, very good. Yeah. So, we only knew ye for a little while, Super League, and it is now probably starting to crumble a little bit as far as everything going on surrounding that. 319-366-1600, coming up on 327 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about the UNI Panthers. Cole Bear will join us, covers the Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Plenty to discuss. We'll take a look back at the spring, answer some personnel questions, etc. Look ahead to the fall and look back at the UNI men's basketball season. All that's when we return on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? Haven't had those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinics April 22nd in Coralville or April 29th at their Cedar Rapids location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check your pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement and will replace your disposable filter. Of course, protocols will be in place to protect everyone attending. The friendly people at CarePro always go above and beyond. If you haven't met them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro. CarePROHealthServices.com.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Waypoint Stuff a Bus, May Baskets for the Homeless event is now virtual. And despite a whirlwind of a year, it's because of you that Waypoint can continue inspiring thousands of people to move forward in their lives. Consider making a donation. A gift of any amount can truly change a life.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Your farm is your home and your business. For nearly 100 years, Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving families like yours in our community. Has farming changed? It sure has. And we've kept up with all of it. We understand the complexities and challenges because we talk with people who do what you do every day. At Fairfax State Savings Bank, we don't just offer agribusiness loans. We know them inside and out. Find out more at thebankhere.com. Fairfax State Savings Bank. Grow with us. Member FDIC.
Reimagine your outdoor living space with Alexander Lumber and Trex. Choose the enduring beauty and durability of Trex composite decking, engineered to eliminate time-consuming maintenance while offering superior scratch, fade, and stain resistance. You'll spend way less time taking care of your deck and a whole lot more time enjoying it. The experts at Alexander Lumber can't wait to help you create the deck of your dreams. Stop and see them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. And as you just heard, our gym has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. And if your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. And there is more information available at kgymradio.com. That's kgymradio.com. You'll also find our poll question there each and every day. It is brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement have been serving customers since 2003. And we'll give you that coming up here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. That is the text line to join us here today. And if you'd like to weigh in and see and help us out on the program here today. And going to talk UNI Panther Athletics. Cole Bear covers them for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, set to join us. You can give him a follow on Twitter at The Real Cole Bear, who joins us on this Tuesday edition of the program. And Cole, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm good. How about you guys?
Not too bad. Not too bad anyway. And a little chilly, but we're gonna get through it okay. And which is kind of the theme for the UNI football season, I think, in the spring a little bit. Let's go back and take a look at it. And just your impressions right away. Mark Farley got the games in for the most part, not all of them. It certainly wasn't what you and I is wanted or what they have done in the past. But I guess what was everything surrounding this kind of unusual spring season?
You know, I think one thing that really sticks out to me is Mark Farley sticking by his word. You know, his rhetoric that he was putting out before the spring season began, where he acknowledged that there could be a Saturday where they were down 10 starters, for example, and they would find a way, they would put a plan together the best they knew how and play the games because they knew that that was part of what they were signing up for. And while maybe some of Mark's tone from time to time might have indicated that he was annoyed by opt-outs, particularly in the Missouri Valley Conference with the number of teams that did shut their seasons down early, he just made a point at season's end to say, hey, like, remind everybody, we knew what we were getting into. We knew there were going to be challenges. We faced them, and you know, we wound up 3-4. We wanted to have a better record, but if you look at it, those four losses came by a combined 15 points, despite the fact that you and I suffered as much roster attrition in this spring as any team out there, both by way of COVID-19 positives, COVID-19 contact tracing, and then just traditional football injuries. So that's really the first thing that comes to mind when thinking back to this spring season for the Panthers.
Now, as you touched on, Cole, four losses by 7 points or fewer, and these were some of the top teams in the country. Was there a common denominator in those losses, or just terrific competition?
Yeah, I think there was. I mean, in a couple games, you could identify a blown play defensively, but I'm not sure how fair it is to isolate those because of all the other plays that were executed at such a high level on that end of the ball for the Panthers this season. Their defense was a top five, top three defense. It's really just a lack of explosive plays with their offense. They continue to grind their way toward getting the running game back to where it needs to be if they really want to be a semifinal championship level FCS program. Attrition on the offensive line certainly had a lot to do with lack of explosive plays in the run game. this season. But without Isaiah Weston anywhere near 100%, their 1,000-yard receiver from 2019, he only played in, I want to say, four of the seven games and only ended up with seven receptions. And you didn't have to have a very trained football eye when you saw him out there to know that he was hardly anything more than a decoy. So it really is the lack of explosive plays on offense. Obviously, Will McElvain missed a couple games due to COVID-19 protocol. Justin Fombi, a redshirt freshman, came in, showed some promise, also had some freshman moments, some moments where you could tell that he was making his first couple of starts playing college football. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons that 3-4 happened, but, you know, there's easily a couple more, three more wins out there for this team if they would be able to have, you know, put up a handful more explosive plays offensively in any game. But, I mean, you can easily point to reasons why that didn't happen. So that's why it's this very compelling kind of never-ending circular debate you could get into.
Yeah, and well, certainly the offense between the end of the spring season and the start of the regular fall season, that's got to be taken a look at. Maybe even, I don't know if taking apart is the right thing to do, but certainly it's got to be put under the microscope a little bit. The defense is there. Defense was no problem this year. It was very good as per usual, but the best defense in the world is not going to win you games if you can't put points on the board.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, another important thing to point out here that I haven't yet is that their offensive coordinator, Ryan Mahaffey, took a job with the Green Bay Packers just before the season began. And, you know, there's so much news, whether it's sports or regular news, that people soak in on a regular basis now. I think that's something that may have easily gotten, you know, kind of that people forgot about already. They had a new quarterbacks coach on staff. He assumed the role as offensive coordinator. You could tell just formationally he was bringing a lot of new things into the mix. Good, bad, or indifferent, it was all so new to that group on offense and, of course, to the quarterback that they were learning that on the fly. And you're talking about a defense that's been in the same system now for over a decade. So there's really no comparison there in terms of the challenges presented to one side of the ball versus the other, and really being able to set up a path of stability, scheme-wise, personnel-wise, for at least the next couple seasons. That's what's going to be a huge key toward the Panthers getting over the hurdle of being, you know, a playoff qualifier, a quarterfinalist, and being good enough to get into the semifinals or to a championship game.
Cole, perhaps a difficult question to answer because these are uncharted waters, but you and I and others, you and I, for example, played seven spring games, and now we'll enter what we hope will be a full 2021 schedule. Will having played a spring season be a benefit or a detriment, do you think, going into September?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I think more than anything, it'll be of a benefit because going back to that new offense with the offensive coordinator, Sean Watson, having those reps that they otherwise wouldn't have against real opponents at live game speed, you can't recreate those. But the other thing that comes to mind too is someone like inside linebacker Bryce Flader, who was lost for the season after week one this spring with a shoulder injury. And he was the leading tackler in all of FCS in 2019. So he's an outstanding player. And that's the type of guy where you go, well, you know, he would be healthy going into the fall if we didn't play this spring. A couple other guys, obviously, they're going to get off-season surgeries as well. And you know, there's one thing that I think playing this spring, there's many things playing this spring really put on display about, you know, kind of the pros and the cons. And one of the cons was it really did reveal the 17 scholarship gap between FCS and FBS football. 63 for FCS football. Not a lot of people know this, but UNI's football program, they don't even sponsor all 63 scholarships. So, I mean, it's, you know, whether you're talking other sports at UNI, football included, it's the classic refrain of they're doing more with less. But the facts are the facts. The last I heard, UNI operates with about 58, 59 scholarships. And on top of that, you know, you don't have near as many. You're not getting to 115 with your roster count like FBS schools are. So whether it was UNI or schools across FCS football, the quality of play really suffered. I've been watching FCS football for, you know, pretty closely for at least 8 years now, and there just was not the quality of play that you are accustomed to. So that's certainly something that you would think rebounds and gets more back to normal in the fall. And like I said, it was, I thought anyways, that really showed itself this spring.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how the playoffs play out here. Colbert joining us, covers UNI for the Gazette on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here at 3:40. You mentioned a couple of guys that were jumped out as far as getting noticed for the spring. I think if you do have some problems like UNI did as far as having to keep people out as far as COVID precautions, whatnot, you do get a chance to get playing time to some guys that probably would not have got it in other situations. And I would imagine that's going to benefit Mark Farley and the Panthers when they tee it up again this fall.
Oh, no doubt about it. Whether it's defensive line, Riley Van Wy at linebacker, offensive line especially, a lot of guys got snaps on the offensive line. As I said before, you just cannot recreate those live game snaps at game speed. So that'll be of a help, but they got to get healthy. And really, guys, like you were getting at earlier, they got to put a plan together for this offense to know what it's doing, not just this fall, but the fall after that one. Because Will McIlvain, he could be the starter for three more years if he wanted to because of the extra year of eligibility. Fombie looks like a talent at quarterback. So if there's stability there, if they want it at the most important position, and it's just about, you know, setting the rest of the chess pieces up the best way possible. And that's the thing too. I mean, just to kind of build on the analogy there, this can't be a checkers offense if they want to advance further than the playoff quarterfinals. They've really got to get a plan put together. They've got to stabilize their personnel. And I think that's what most programs are going to be really focused in on, is just stabilizing their two deeps, their three deeps headed into the fall, because this spring was crazy. I mean, they were finding out Friday morning about guys that were going to be unavailable. And when you find out on Friday morning that your starting quarterback's going to be unavailable, you got to throw a game plan in the trash. So crazy circumstances, but I think it might not be by a whole lot. It still was better to play than it was to not play.
Cole, Scott and I seem to talk about college basketball every day because there's so much going on in the transfer portal and whatnot. I want to ask you, what kind of shape is the UNI program in with some attrition? A.J. Green, what do we know about his recovery and the fact that his dad is now at Iowa State?
Yeah, when it comes to the UNI men's basketball roster, they've probably got more stability than maybe any other roster out there in the country. They're pretty much they're bringing everybody back except for Evan Gauger, who was a end-of-the-rotation guard that's going to look for an opportunity, I think, probably Division II or Division III to find more playing time. So UNI is the exception to the rule right now. Tywan Pickford's coming back. Trey Burhau is probably the most prominent name among the seniors that has made the decision that he's going to return. And so, you know, we've seen, guys, what largely this group can do when A.J. Green is healthy and out there on the floor. They were an NCAA tournament bubble team in 2019. So you kind of got an idea of where the floor is at, and then you add to it that a couple freshmen like Nate Heisey and Bowen Bourne got a little baptism by fire this past season. Noah Carter was able to have the ball in his hands more as a result of AJ's injury. So you feel like those guys' progression is probably accelerated as a result of AJ being out this past season. Then it's just going to be a matter of those guys refining their roles with AJ back in the lineup, because he is such a ball dominant guard. And as far as AJ's recovery from the hip surgeries, at my last check, everything is still on track, and AJ's shooting stationary jump shots, free throws. And I think very soon he's going to be cleared to shoot jump shots, move with a little bit of pace and speed, obviously no contact, but everything's on track for him to get full go sometime in August.
Yeah, and of course, the Mo Valley this year with a great, again, very good publicity as far as what Loyola did. Ramblers are going to lose a lot. They lost Porter Mosier as well. I think UNI is right there to swoop in with everybody that Ben Jacobson has coming back. I mean, you don't play the games on paper, certainly, but the opportunity is there for the Panthers next year.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let's not forget, though, Drake, with everybody coming back.
Right.
I know Yesufu obviously transferred to Kansas, but they're the gatekeepers right now, as far as I'm concerned. With all due respect to Loyola, there's just too much coming off of that roster for me to believe that they're going to be right there in the thick of it. They'll be a top-half Valley team again, I would imagine. I think Valentine was a good hire for them, who'd been on Porter's staff for a number of years there. I think he may have been with Porter the entire time he was in Chicago with the Ramblers. So I think he'll be able to pick up the baton and carry it forward with maybe just a slight step back these next year or two. But Drake looks like a juggernaut. And like I said, I mean, Yesufu was great, guys, but we didn't really even know. Most Drake fans, and besides the folks that pay real close attention, they didn't know Joseph Yesufu before the past month and a half of the season after Roman Peng got injured. So Darren DeVries just continues to prove that, you know, he's got a handle on the league and how to be successful, what kind of players to recruit to Des Moines. He's got another great recruiting class coming in. So I think that the target is on Drake's back, and that could be a good thing for you and I, because obviously everybody will be wondering, you know, what does AJ Green feel like the first time he has to play 30, 32 minutes in a game, come back and play another non-conference game two or three nights later? We'll find all that stuff out at some point, but I would think preseason poll, way too early prediction. You and I probably falls two, three, maybe four at the worst. They'll be right there in the mix for sure.
And on the women's side, you've got Tanya Warren, the head coach, getting an extension. And Iowa and Iowa State got so much attention this past year, rightfully so. Drake as well. But you and I had a nice year, and Warren got rewarded for it. So things look bright on that side as well.
Yeah, Tanya keeps that four for UNI women's basketball. There's always that, I think, just high level of respect from her peers in the conference, because they know the challenge that her teams are going to offer on a night-in, night-out basis, and that they're going to win somewhere in the upper teens of games. In good years, they're going to win 20-plus. They bring Carly Rucker back, their all-conference point guard. She's taking advantage of the fifth year of eligibility, and they had six true freshmen on this team this past season. And I know it was a class that the coaching staff was very excited about, and they had their growing pains, but they also had their moments where if you were watching, you could understand why the coaching staff was so excited about that group. So I think that they'll be in the mix again next year. It's kind of hard to say just how much in contention they'll be, whether or not they are a bubble WNIT NCAA team, or if they're going to be able to be a top two Valley team, because in women's basketball, the top two finishers in the Valley, at least in recent years, have both been able to get their way into the NCAA tournament. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on for sure.
It will. And not going to be too long until we're looking at the fall football season. And, you know, it's hard enough playing the Missouri Valley Football Conference schedule, but then you put Iowa State in there as well, and my goodness gracious. Six out of the 16 teams in the spring are from the Missouri Valley Football Conference. It says a lot, and the conference is going to be loaded again coming up next year. North Dakota State, obviously chief among them, with the local kid probably at the quarterback helm. So going to be fun coming up this fall. Cole, keep up the great work, and thanks for all the information on UNI. We appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Cole Bear joining us. Give him a follow on Twitter at Real Cole Bear. Joining us, he covers UNI athletics for the Gazette. 3:49, we'll take a break. Come back, have more for you after this here on KGYM.
Save today on your next project with 11% off everything now at Menards. Max Bond Exterior Paint and Primer in 1 delivers superior adhesion to dirty, chalky, and glossy surfaces. Right now, pick up a gallon of flat paint for only $38.19 after 11% rebate. Start saving with 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through Saturday, April 24th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Presenting the world's worst combos. Using a chainsaw while blindfolded.
Hey, watch out!
Answer! Performing surgery while roller skating.
Whoa!
And being high while driving. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get an OWI. This ad brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-611-5252. 800-611-5252. 800-611-5252.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-317-5082. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-317-5082 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-317-5082 to see if you qualify. That's 800-317-5082.
Welcome back. 3:52 here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us on this Tuesday edition of the show. Do appreciate it. And I want to remind you one more time, our sister station Z102.9, their wedding show is up and running on the internet. WeddingDayIA.com is where you'll be able to find the Z102.9 fashion show featuring beautiful gowns from Heart to Heart Bridal, the latest looks from Prince Albert tuxedos and suits, and much, much more. Again, that website is WeddingDayIA.com. WeddingDayIA.com. 319-366-1600. Tomorrow, Caddy Smack coming your way as Brian Haas will join us here for Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. And going to talk coming up tomorrow with Steve Koepke from the Crandic Tour, as the Crandic Tour is about a month away from getting things started. So looking forward to talking to Kep tomorrow. And by the way, chilly night, there's a freeze warning, Mark. So if you have any tender plants, flowers, etc. outside, please do whatever you can to help them out tonight.
Well, thank you, Scott. I will.
All right. See, public service announcement from all of us here at KGYM. Iowa State University announcing this just moments ago, Mark. Gentlemen, we both know, gentlemen, I think that you know very, very well, announcing he is going to be retiring. He has, of course, been with Iowa State for many, many years now, but was with Iowa, I believe was a Hawkeye grad. Many, many ties around the Midwest for this gentleman.
Yeah, Steve Malchow is going to retire, and he's had a wonderful career, and he's just one of the really, really good guys in the sports information business. And I got to know Steve in the mid to late 80s as he was an assistant sports information director under George Wine and Phil Hattie at the University of Iowa. He was the primary contact for men's basketball, as I recall, and then went off to Wisconsin. Barry Alvarez wanted him. And Steve went to Wisconsin and ended up in the heyday. I mean, after all the great years in Iowa football in the 80s, he ends up at Wisconsin in its heyday when it went to 3 Rose Bowls and won them all. And Steve was at the helm of the sports information department there. And as you mentioned, most recently being at Iowa State University since 2005. And really wish Steve a happy retirement. Again, one of the really good guys in that business.
He is. And like you said, so many ties around to Iowa, to Wisconsin, to Barry Alvarez, to Jamie Pollard, and just going to be a guy that's going to be missed. He is going to retire on June the 30th. So a couple months remaining for Steve. And like you said, one of the nicest guys out there. You won't find a nicer gentleman out there than Steve. And we wish him the best as far as retirement is concerned. And he can go watch a game without having to, you know, dissect it, write about it, et cetera, or worry about anyone beforehand. I hope he enjoys a game.
Yeah, it doesn't. I have to worry about us media hacks and getting us all statistics and quotes and media availabilities and whatnot. And SID work is a lot of work. It really is, if you do your job correctly. And Steve did that over 40 years.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And a lot of kudos coming in for him. That is for sure, certainly. As I mentioned, Caddy Smack of the Gym Class coming your way tomorrow right here in KGYM. We've got Twins baseball at 5 o'clock, a doubleheader, 2 7-inning games. Keep that in mind in the new look of Major League Baseball, as the Twins will take on the Oakland A's, and that will be a 5 o'clock pregame on the Gym OT, 107.5 FM. 5:30 will be the, for 5:35 anyway, the first pitch is going to try to stop those red-hot Oakland A's, Mark.
Yeah, it's never easy on the West Coast, and of course those two Angel games were postponed, and it's always difficult to go out to the West Coast, as you know, and especially with being shorthanded, a couple 3 players on the COVID-19 list. I'd imagine at least one of the games you're going to see bullpen games by one or both teams. I could be wrong about that, but it will be nice to see and hear him get back on the field.
It will. And we'll have that coming up at 5 o'clock for you right here on KGYM, as we've got that game for you. And also, we've got Caddy Smack in the Gym Class, as we mentioned, coming up tomorrow. And looking forward to that. And coming up later in the week, we're going to bring back our Friday topic. I think Mark's got a good one that we're going to we'll unveil coming up on Thursday, and Drake Relays Week as well. So that kicks off this week in Des Moines with some people in the stands, and all the high school events being run on Thursday. That'll be a little bit different. All right, stay tuned. The Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next on KGYM, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3, Mark.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you then, Scott.
All right. Stay tuned for Todd and Alex coming up next, KGYM.
It's like I blinked and suddenly all my business shifted to e-commerce.
Now my business hours are whenever my customers need me.
My customer.